Hello and welcome to Making Creativity Pay. My name's Dan Barnett and I head of the podcast show London on the 24th and 25th of May. We're running a series of short daily podcasts with a variety of people in the podcast industry. This episode is with Mark Asquith, co-founder of podcasting hosting service Captivate. We talk about what he's looking forward to most at the podcast show, why he sees Anchor as not necessarily a bad thing for the podcast industry, and about his talk at the podcast show and how branding can help with the growth of your podcast.
Hey, this is Mark Asquith. I'm the MD and the co-founder of Captivate, the world's only growth-oriented podcast hosting platform where we empower serious podcast creators with the tools and the assets that they need to grow a meaningful audience. Plus, we just released a range of fantastic new monetization tools, all at captivate.fm.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, at another time, it'd be great to chat about the monetization stuff on YouTube yesterday. I think there's a lot of stuff we could talk about there, about things you're going to add to that in terms of the creator economy. That fits in perfectly with the kind of the regular bit of the podcast where I talk to creators, musicians, podcasters, comedians, about all that kind of stuff. So it seems like the feedback's been good on it so far.
Yeah, it's been really good. It's been interesting this morning to watch people signing up for Stripe, you know, and connecting the Stripe account and seeing people actually start to make money with it, which is good. Like, it validates that people needed it, you know? So that's, you know, that's nice for a morning of release.
Kind of interested in the podcast industry. So I thought, well, the best way to kind of learn about how everything works is to kind of start a podcast and kind of need nuts and bolts. The first thing you have to do is kind of record something and then you need to put it up somewhere and host it. There's kind of like a tyranny of choice to some extent in terms of the number of providers. And it's, you know, it's difficult. I chickened out. I went with Anchor, you know, boo, to start with, just because I thought, I have no idea. You know, I kind of tried yours, tried yours. They're all really good and everything. I just thought, I don't know what to do. So for now, I'll go with the free option. And then when I know better, I'll go with something else. If someone says to you, you know, A, why don't I just use Anchor? One reason. B, you know, why Captivate and not others? What are the kind of key things that from your side you'd say to people?
So I'm actually not an Anchor hater at all. If someone says to me, I want to start a podcast and I don't want the risk of paying for something, I'd say use Anchor. Of course use Anchor. Like, why would you not? You know, I'm not going to buy £1,000 golf clubs when I can buy a £5 golf club to get started. I thank Mike and the Anchor team for doing what they've done, because it's opened up podcasting to more people. And Captivate occupies a really specific place within the podcast hosting industry. Like, we don't have a freemium model. We're not giving you an Amazon voucher for signing up. We occupy the market where we only want to work with people who identify as being serious about growing their show. So at any point that you decide that you become serious about it, that's when Captivate becomes right for you. Now, a lot of people do that right at the beginning. They'll say, well, this is a thing that I'm doing for my business. Of course, I'm bloody serious about it. Or, like me with my Star Wars podcast or my DC podcast back in 2013 when we first started that one. Like, I wasn't serious about it until a few years later. And I had to build something that would help me as a serious podcaster. You know, and then I moved off the hosting platform I was using. So it's, no, I would use Anchor. Of course, it's free. Good God, please use it. And then when you're serious, doesn't matter how long that takes, whether your idea is serious straight away, or whether it takes you 5 years, Captivate will be there. And the reason that we don't do freemium, the reason that we don't do any of that, is that I believe that if someone is serious about their show, they're willing to put a little bit of skin in the game. They're willing to pay something. It's not a premium price. It's just a price that is competitive with everyone else. And the value that we can give back, my mission is that if you put that skin in the game, we will deliver beyond measure for you in what we give you. So we're not going to compare with other hosting companies that has the same pricing model as us, or hosting companies that will give you the Amazon gift card. Like, we don't care about the volume of podcasters. We don't care about the number of people that we have. We want the right people, because people don't leave us, because once they realize that we're serious about them being serious, there's no reason to leave. So no, I'm a bit of a weird one in the podcast hosting industry. I'm not generally like the other hosting company founders, and I get that a lot. My mission for the last 10 years has been to bring hosting companies together and actually to push their boundaries a little bit. We launched Captivate with the tagline, the world's only growth-oriented podcast hosting platform. Some of the incumbents went nuts. Like, they were like, what are you saying, that we don't care about our audience's growth? I was like, well, like, prove it. And then they start releasing things where they've been sat quiet for years because they didn't need to release things. So my job in the industry personally is to make people see that it's all right to use Anchor. And guess what? Are Spotify a villain in podcasting? If you know, to quote Obi-Wan Kenobi, from a certain point of view, but also from a certain point of view not. So it's, yeah, I'm not quite like that. It's Captivate does its job for the people that it does its job for, and there'll always be more of those. The important thing for me is that you podcast and you enjoy it, and then we'll be there if you want us.
And within hosting, I mean, you said you added monetization recently. You know, we're recording this on Riverside. They've added transcripts. It seems like the end goal in, you know, whether it's 2-5 years' time, is that everything will be within one service. You record, edit, transcript, monetization. Do you see it going that way, or do you think there will be still more silos?
No, I don't think it'll be easy for it to go that way. I mean, look at Anchor. They got bought by Spotify. It was a great job for the founders. They did a great job. But they're not the best at anything. They're all right at everything, but they're not the best at everything. And I always compare this to YouTube. You know, it's clear that Spotify are trying to become the YouTube of podcasting, where everything's siloed through Spotify and they can then do what they want with the numbers and the events that they track through that platform. Good business sense. Cool. The thing is with YouTube, like, you don't do all your work on YouTube. Well, you could do, sort of, but the serious people, what do? They shoot multi-angle, they edit, and then they upload, and YouTube handles the point from creation onwards. But it's not just distribution, it's everything around it. And that's where I see podcasting going. And I will risk sounding a bit too overconfident on this one, but I think Captivate has catalyzed a lot of change in that space as well. Because along with people like Anchor, we came along at a time where the incumbents weren't really doing much. And we said to them, well, why don't you just build a guest booking thing so that then I can write the show notes for my users? Because then I know that they're going to keep podcasting because they're not worried about the time to write the damn show notes, because that's boring. Who likes doing that? So it's the idea, I think, is that, my logic certainly is that if you can be very good at an element of podcasting workflow without sacrificing the bits that you should be good at, then you can probably do it within your platform. But I don't see it going all in one, because if you're all in, I can't think of a good all in one anything. You know, I buy an all in one blender. It's great, but it's terrible at this one particular thing. You know, I've got guitars behind me. An all in one guitar and bass is going to be pretty terrible. Yeah, it's all right. You'll see it now and again, like a Mr. Big gig or something. But I don't think you can do well at all in one unless you've been around for such a long time. So a good example of this would be an Xbox or a PlayStation. Yeah, Sony's not been making consoles for any more than 25, 26 years. Maybe a touch longer, 28 maybe. But they've been doing consumer electronics for a heck of a long time. So their Blu-ray player was already very good. You know, the way that they interfaced between a TV and a device was already very good. The way that they had CD readers and writers was already very, very good. They knew how to interface controllers and adapters with infrared. It was already very, very good. So I don't think podcasting's at that point. There aren't people with enough experience in the constituent pieces for it to change anytime soon. People will do it. People will try it. Anchor have done it. It's all right at everything, but it's not amazing at anything. And this is the point that I'm sort of getting at, where, you know, from a business model like Captivate's perspective, that's cool, because we are excellent at this stuff, but we're only excellent at this stuff, you know? And just to finish that off, because I know it's a long-winded answer and I am a talker, mate, I think it's all right for those two things to coexist. Yeah, I think it's completely fine for the all-in-one blender and mixer and amazing grater of all things to exist. But is Gordon Ramsay or a sous chef going to use it? Probably not. They've got a specialist thing for this thing because they're serious about it. And that's a very extreme and almost comedic example, but the point exists for podcasters as well. Let them use Anchor. It's going to be easier. They can do it all in one. But when they're serious about, right, how do I actually grow this thing? Then I can say, well, actually, here we are. Let's do this thing for you. And I'd rather they were podcasting and loving it than worried about picking the right platform because someone on Twitter says it's the right platform. So it's I'm pretty protective over getting people into podcasting. I want people to do it.
Moved on to the podcast show. You're actually speaking at the event. Quick intro to kind of what you're talking about.
I like what you've done there, Dan. You've made me try and remember what I'm talking about. No, I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about branding for podcasting. So my background is brand, and it's a lot of brand strategy, a lot of brand design, and obviously being a marketer and a sort of software guy and a creator as well. I've got this weird mix of heritage, if you like. So I'm going to talk through basically the branding mistakes that people won't tell you are branding mistakes and why they can really pull the rug out from your revenue, your audience growth opportunities. And these are... they're not anything secret, but the things that people wouldn't necessarily think of as being brand related, and they're all things that people can fix pretty instantly. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's on the creator stage, or one of the creator stages. And then obviously we'll be there with Captivate exhibiting and giving some free stuff away. We've got a meetup going on the Wednesday night, which everyone's welcome to. And we'll be there with Global as well. Obviously Global, we as Global have got a huge, huge corner booth as well. We had a DJ and some beer last year, so I'll be there and it'll not be for the DJ, mate.
And is there anything, apart from your own stuff, is there anything you're particularly looking forward to seeing, either in terms of a talk or a particular exhibitor?
Do you know, I cherish these events since COVID because I used to take them for granted so often. We used to do so many of them before COVID, and then post-COVID, we've been watered down a little bit. So I cherish the idea of seeing guys like you and seeing a lot of people that I've known for a long time in the industry, a lot of friends, you know, people like James Cridlin, right through to all my hosting friends, you know, people from Buzzsprout, Libsyn, Blueberry, people from Podbean, Transistor, all those guys that hopefully will make the trip over. I'm always a fan of seeing the mix, and this is what the podcast show in particular does very, very well. I'm looking forward to seeing the mix of people like the Rockonteurs podcast, right? Gary J. Kemp, of course, from Spandau Ballet fame, and Guy Pratt. If you're a bass player like me, that guy's royalty. They've got an amazing podcast called Rockonteurs. They're doing a live session. They're going to be there at the show. Like, that is amazing for me. But there are also... like 1,000 Captivate podcasters will be there, and independent podcasters like the Sequel Pitch guys who have got a movie show and it's four guys loving it. And I absolutely love that podcast as well. So to be able to, the big thing for me to look forward to is to be able to bring those two elements of podcasting together that are usually so far apart. You know, podcasting the media industry and podcasting the creator economy are very different beasts. So to have them all together in one place is a real, that's a real cherry on the top for me, mate.
Thanks for listening. Look out for the daily episodes when we talk to a variety of people within podcasting, and also check out the back catalogue of episodes where I talk to people in a variety of creative industries about making creativity pay.